The rest of the New Testament is locked to, is joined to, the book of Acts. Every epistle in the New Testament is connected to the book of Acts, from the book of Romans all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. For example, there is a lot of things that we would not know about Paul's letter to the church at Philippi if we did not have Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 introduces us to Paul and the missionary team coming into Philippi, and the people and the events and the situations that occurred there. And so really, Acts 16 is connected to the book of Philippians. And we learn a lot about Philippians because of Acts chapter 16. The same thing could be said for 1 and 2 Corinthians. A lot of information that we would not have about 1 and 2 Corinthians if we did not know the background that comes to us from Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 gives us the passage in verse number 8 that says, "And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." And we get to learn a lot about the Corinthian people from the vantage point of Acts chapter 18. And the same thing could be said about the book of Ephesians. If it wasn't for the book of Acts, there would be a lot of things in the book of Ephesians that maybe would be a little more difficult to understand. But because we have Acts chapter 19 and Paul coming into the city of Ephesus along with the missionary team that traveled with him to that place, we know a lot of the things that are not filled in the book of Corinthians. So anyway, when Dr. Luke sat down to write his treatise to Theophilus, as it's identified in the first chapter of the book of Acts, he recorded for us some very, very important information, and information that is due our time and consideration. Now, for our purposes this morning, I want to look at the book of Acts in maybe a little different way than we have looked at it before. We have before noticed that the book of Acts is a lot of things. It is a book on the move, but it is also a book of transition from the time of Jesus' life in this world, the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then into the work of the disciples. It transitions us from that. It's a book of history. It's a book of conversion. Some 12 times it will show us people coming out of whatever environments or backgrounds they had been in, and showing us how they became New Testament Christians. And it is a book about the spread of Christianity. But it is at the same time, and for our purposes this morning, a book about people changing their lives. A book about people changing their lives. People changing their lives religiously. Many of the disciples that we read about in the book of Acts went into Gentile worlds and met people at whatever level they happened to be and helped them become Christians. They changed their lives religiously. They changed their lives morally. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 through 11 talks about all of the different things the Corinthian people had at one point been involved in their life. And Paul will then make the comment, "And such were some of you." Well, they're changing their morality and lining that up with what God says within His Word. And they change their loyalties. And so what the book of Acts is showing us is ordinary people, people just like you and me, who understood what the opportunity of being a Christian was all about. And they were not about to let that opportunity pass by. They came as they were, but when the gospel was presented to them, they placed God's will above their own will. They changed their lives so that they could become Christian people. And when they went back home, wherever home was for them, when they went back home, they went home Christian people. And so this morning, let's be talking just about that. Let's be talking about going home a Christian. The book of Acts shows us people in whatever conditions or situation of life they were, who when they went home Christians. We're going to start this out in Acts chapter 2. If you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bible with me, Acts chapter 2. And we'll find this repeated many, many times within the New Testament and book of Acts, the New Testament book of Acts, and we're just going to sample a few of them. So Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to begin. And when you turn to Acts chapter 2 in your Bible, you are in the city of Jerusalem. and you are in the midst of one of the great Jewish celebrations, religious celebrations, a day called Pentecost. And that's what Acts chapter 2 is all about. And all you have to do is just turn a page or two into the book of Acts, and you find a great company of Jewish people who have come to Jerusalem, and they have come here because of a celebration that was established way back during the time period of Moses and the law of Moses, and these people have come here for that reason. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 5, you will read this phrase. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now there's a couple of important things about this verse that sets the stage for the rest of our events that are described here in Acts chapter 2. One of the things that we need to notice is this little phrase, devout men. So Luke is telling us something about the people who have come to Jerusalem for this Pentecost feast day. And what he has to tell us about them is that they were devout men. Now, maybe your Bible doesn't use the word devout, but the word devout doesn't mean anything more than devoted men and women. That's why they are here in Jerusalem, because they are devoted. They are devoted to God. They are devoted to their Jewish religion. And so they have traveled the distance to the city of Jerusalem to participate in this celebration. And the evidence of their being devout people is just exactly that. Because you see, some of these people have traveled from many, many miles in order to get here to Jerusalem for this feast day. The Feast of Pentecost was one of several pilgrimage festivals. And all in the world that means is that if you happen to be living in that time and you could afford the journey, the pilgrimage back to Jerusalem, then you would go back to Jerusalem for that feast day. And these people traveled from many different places. You can look in your Bibles in Acts chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, and you'll find all the different places represented on this map as to where these people came from. Some of them came hundreds of miles. They traveled by horseback. They traveled by foot. If they didn't have a horse, maybe they traveled by chariot. Some of them traveled by ocean to get back here to Jerusalem. But they're devout people because they have the means and the opportunity and the ability, and so they travel whatever distance in order to get here. Let me ask you, how far would you travel on horseback just to get to services? Well, some of these people traveled for weeks and weeks, and so religion, worshiping God, honoring God, was not just a pastime with these people. It was what their life was about. They're devout people. Nothing is more important to them than doing God's will and doing God's will in God's way. And so they've come because of that. They've come to this Pentecost feast day. Now, while they're here, God fulfilled a promise that He had made, actually to a prophet. A prophet some 800 years previous to this occasion. And that promise is spelled out for us in Joel chapter 2 at verse number 28. And the promise that God made through the prophet Joel is just this. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now that's the prophet Joel speaking. He's speaking 800 years before the events of Acts chapter 2 take place. But when those events of Acts chapter 2 take place, we find Peter quoting from that very prophet. You could look in your Bible at Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through verse 17, and you'll find that's exactly what Peter tells these individuals. Look at Acts 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So the people are being informed. These devout religious people are being informed. They're being instructed that what they're seeing take place here on this Pentecost feast day was nothing other than what God said would take place some 800 years previous to this very day. Well, anyway, the apostles, they seized the moment. And for the very first time in their lives, the apostles are speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And they tell those who have gathered around the meaning of the events that are taking place. You see, some had made the accusation, well, these people, they're just drunk. That's why they're acting the way they're acting. And Peter's not going to let that rest. He's going to stand up with the 11 and he's going to correct that. And Peter will begin his sermon by stating that these are not drunken as you suppose. But this is that which the prophet Joel talked about. The Spirit of God has been poured out upon these apostles of Christ, and they're speaking in languages that they had never studied before. And Peter's just describing that what God had been doing was prophesied way back here in the book of Joel. And now they're speaking in these languages, and as he's speaking along, telling them what God has been doing through Jesus of Nazareth, these Jewish people, these devout Jewish people, well, they interrupt Peter because they have a question that is on their mind and on their heart. And here's the question, Acts 2 and verse 37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? These devout Jewish men and women wanted to know about their situation. And what should they do about their situation? Well, Peter explains to them what they needed to do in Acts 2 and verse 38, where your Bible says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, what the divine record does for us then is records for us that 3,000 of the people who heard that message, 3,000 of these people who had come to Jerusalem for this Pentecost feast day, 3,000 of them did just exactly what Peter told them to do in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. 3,000 of these devout people, they changed their religion. 3,000 of these devout people became New Testament Christians. And they are, by nature of their obedience to the gospel of Christ, they're now added to the body of Christ. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. Now all of that's just the history. All of that's just the background of what's taking place in Acts chapter 2 about these devout people who traveled all this distance to Jerusalem. But let me ask you a question on the basis of what we have just briefly studied together. How hard is it for a person to change their religion? You see, that's what these people are doing. They're changing their religion. Now, I know that question is not one that has a one answer fits all. It's just not, because there are so many different things that are in each and every one's life. And so there are maybe different answers to how hard it is to change religion. But for these people, what I want you to notice with me, for these people, this was the only thing to do. These were devout people, devoted to God, devoted religious people who learned now the application of those Old Testament passages to their lives. And at the very first opportunity, they did what Peter told them they needed to do. They understood God's will, and since God was the most important consideration to them, then they did what God said to do, and they did that without hesitation. It was the only thing to do. It was the natural thing to do. It was the most reasonable thing, since they were devout people, to do what God said. It meant some changes for them. It meant changing their religion. They're now not Jewish people, not practicing the Jewish religion. Now they're added to the Lord's church. Well, at a point not identified, these Jewish people went back home. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, we read, "They that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word." So here are these devout people. They've come to Jerusalem, and they have made the decision to become New Testament Christians. By nature of their obedience to Christ, they have been added to the church of Christ, and now they're Christians. They came to Jerusalem for a celebration in their Jewish religion. But when they go back home, they're going home a Christian. They're going home a Christian. You see, that's what devout people do. People who are devoted to God, The only thing they can think of doing is just do what God said. And so Peter explained to them what God had said. He showed them the application of those Old Testament passages to their lives. And they understood that. And because they are devout people, because they are devoted people, that's exactly what they did. And they went home Christians. They went home Christians. They changed their religious aspect of life so that now they're following Christ, following the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Now, that's not the only time it ever happened, is it? The book of Acts is full of episodes in people's lives in which they are devout people and they change their lives to become Christians. Let me take you to another one in Acts chapter 8 where just exactly this same result comes about. Now, the interesting thing about Acts chapter 8, it involves an entirely different set of situations. Entirely different consideration is at hand. A lot of things have transpired between Acts 2 and Acts 8. And part of what has occurred is that the church in Jerusalem, well, they have scattered. There's been this individual by the name of Saul, who was a very zealous Jewish man. And he had made it his ambition that he was going to go to Jerusalem, and if he found anybody who would identify themselves as a Christian, he was going to take those people who called themselves Christians and carry them back down to Jerusalem. He was very zealous. He was very dedicated to the Jewish way of life. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 3, we read that that's exactly what Saul is doing. He's making havoc of the church. But God, as He so often does, will take this event that seems like a very difficult event, a very challenging event in the life of the early church. He's going to take this event and He's going to use it for great good. Well, that good that He's going to use it for starts out, as we have already noted, the scattering of the church in Jerusalem. And when they scatter, they go everywhere preaching the Word of God. They're not going home dejected. They're not going home rejected. They're not going home downcast or downtrodden. No, they're taking that message that they have heard back in Jerusalem, and they're preaching that message everywhere that they go. Now, one of the individuals who left Jerusalem was a Christian by the name of Philip. And the very first thing that Philip does when he scatters from Jerusalem is he goes to a place called Samaria. Well, what in the world is Philip doing in Samaria? Your Bible tells you what he's doing. He's preaching Christ to the Samaritan people. Just like the Bible recorded in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. How the gospel started in the city of Jerusalem, spread from there out to Samaria. And now Philip's, well, he's down here in Samaria, and he's preaching the gospel to Samaritan people. And from there, he travels out to a place called Gaza, and he meets up with this man. He meets up with this devout, religious man. And this man is from Ethiopia, and he's very interested in learning what God would have for him to do in his life. He's so interested that he has come from Ethiopia. And he's been all the way down to Jerusalem, and there he has worshipped God in Jerusalem. And he is a very intelligent man. He's a very religious man. He is a man of high position and high authority. He's the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia. And so he's in a very good standing in his job position. Now, the Bible never does say how, but somehow this man has come to the point in his life that he's searching for something more than the empty religions he found back in Ethiopia. He traveled some 800 miles because he's searching for something. Maybe you're searching for something. Maybe you know there's something more than the empty denominations of men. Well, you're just like this man. He was searching for something. And he traveled all this way to get back, to get to Jerusalem so that he could worship God. The Bible never even tells us how he came to learn about God. What it does for us is it picks up the story of this man from Ethiopia And what happened in his life, it picks up his story after he has already been to Jerusalem. He's on his way back home now. And he has with him a written copy of the Old Testament, or at least a portion of the Old Testament, because the Bible does tell us he's reading from the prophet Isaiah, Acts chapter 8 and verse number 28. He's sitting in his chariot on the way back home, and he's reading his Bible on the way back home. He's reading his Bible about what he is trying to study and learn something about, but you probably know the story well enough to know that this man's confused. He's a searching man. He's a devout man. He's a religious man. He's a very important man, a very intelligent man, but he's confused about some of the things that he is reading. And he is so confused that he's willing to ask some questions. Philip approaches this man's chariot, and he asked Philip. My King James says he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him in the chariot. And so he's asking for some help. And Philip joins this man. And using that prophet Isaiah that this Ethiopian man was reading from, using that prophet, Philip begins to explain to him about Jesus, about how that passage he's reading in from Isaiah chapter 53, actually, is a passage that deals with the Christ. It deals with Jesus. And Philip is explaining this to him. The man understood what Philip was talking about for the very first time in his life. And with the help of Philip, he made the connection. Well, that's what Isaiah's talking about. Isaiah's talking about this one called Jesus and what has happened in Jesus' life and how that Jesus was the one who suffered on the cross. And with his stripes, we are healed. He's understanding all of that. And you know what? This very intelligent, and devout man, what he wanted to do was obey Jesus the very first opportunity that he got. Well, Philip must have explained to him that baptism is how people get into Christ, because at the very first opportunity, or driving along the way, and this man saw a pool of water, he stopped the chariot and he asked the question, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip asked the man a very simple question. And the question is this, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? The man acknowledged that he did believe that, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. Philip and the eunuch man went down into the water, and Philip baptized this man from Ethiopia. He immersed him under the water. And because this devout man was obedient to the gospel of Christ, in baptism, what God did for him is he washed away his sins, Acts 22 and verse 16. And when he came up out of those waters, the Bible says he came out of the waters rejoicing. And you know why he's rejoicing? He's rejoicing because he was going back home a Christian. He was going back home a Christian. He had come to Jerusalem searching for the God of heaven. And what he had hoped he would find in Jerusalem, he actually found in the deserts on the way back home, as Philip explained to him about the Christ. And he became a Christian. He came as a devout man, perhaps looking for something more than he could find in Ethiopia. And he went back home a Christian. Now, if we visit the book of Acts one more time, we can find yet one more time, an entirely set of different circumstances, but it ends in exactly the same way. And that is, in Acts chapter 16, we read about a lady by the name of Lydia, also a very devout woman. And we read about her household and what happened in her household. Acts chapter 16 puts us about midway in Paul's second missionary journey. He's traveled all over the province of Asia Minor, helping people find their way out of the religions and the philosophies of men and become Christian people. And people have found the value of Christianity so often that really by the time you get to Acts chapter 16, The church is actually made up by that time primarily of people who were formerly in Gentile religions. You see, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is taking place. The gospel started in Jerusalem, spread to Samaria. Many of the Samaritan people understood the gospel. They became Christians. And then from Samaria, it spread to the uttermost parts of the world. And all over Asia Minor, the gospel of Christ has been taught to heathen Gentile people in their understanding the gospel of Christ so much that by now the church is made up of people who used to worship many different kinds of heathen deities. These were people who worshiped the god of the sun and the god of rivers and the god of work guilds. They worshiped all kinds of gods, but they're giving up that. And they're becoming Christians. They're becoming just New Testament Christians. Well, Paul travels along in his second missionary journey, and he comes to a place in Philippi where he preaches the gospel to the people who have gathered there. He had seen a vision that said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Paul did just exactly that. He traveled now to Philippi, and he's preaching the gospel in all of these provinces. And while Paul and the others travel with him, they meet up with some women. These women have come to this place with a lady by the name of Lydia. And they're out by the side of the Ganges River. And they're worshiping God there. And one of the women that Paul met there was this woman by the name of Lydia. A certain woman named Lydia. Well, Lydia's here on business. She came for business, but she's a worshiper of God. She is a devout person. And so she's worshiping while she's here. She's by the side of the river there. And she and those who are with her are worshiping because she's devout. She's come here for a business, but she's also a worshiper of God. Now, the city she's from is many, many miles away. But she has understood the importance of what she needed to do to make herself right in the sight of God. And she has come here because of her business, but along the way she learns about God. And she was a woman who sold purple. And purple was a very expensive and costly dye. And she sold that, but that was just her professional life. The Bible actually doesn't make a whole lot about her professional life, but it does tell us this. It tells us that she worshiped God. It tells us she attended to the things that were spoken of by Paul. Luke uses a word here that means proskeo, or that is proskeo, and what it means is she listened to the things that Paul heard, and she brought them near to her. She attended to the things which were spoken of by Paul. Maybe your Bible says something similar to that. Well, the idea is that she not only understood what Paul was saying about the Christ, but she was willing to do whatever that required of her. And so when she learned the importance of baptism, this devout Gentile woman in a foreign city from where she lived learns about the importance of baptism, and because she was a devout person, she was baptized, the Bible says, and her household in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 15. Now, along with those in her house who were baptized, and just like the Jews on the Pentecost day and the man from Ethiopia that we noticed as well, the Lord did the same thing for her as He did for those others. He added them to the church, Acts 2 and verse number 47. Now, Lydia, she appears only one other time in our New Testament. It's in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 40. We're not told when, but at some point, Lydia goes back home to Thyatira, the home where she came from. And when she goes back home, she's now a Christian person. She's no longer a Gentile person worshiping in whatever religion she may have been worshiping in. She's going home a Christian person. This devout person who had come to this place to just conduct her business. Somehow she had an understanding of God and worshiping God because she's at the riverside doing just exactly that. But when Paul explains to her the importance of becoming a Christian, she does that. She does that. Probably the first time she'd ever heard the gospel of Christ as someone had preached it to her. And now, because of learning what she needed to do, she's going home a Christian. Now this morning, what I want to tell you is that the opportunity that all these people had in their life, well, that's our opportunity today. It's our opportunity. It doesn't matter how you came here. It does matter how you leave here. All of these people left changed people. The people in Acts chapter 2, they came to Jerusalem for a religious celebration, but they went home a Christian. And they made that change because they were devout people. The people at the Pentecost feast day, they were devout people. The man from Ethiopia was a devout person. Lydia and those others who had come to the riverside to worship, they're devout people. All of these are devout people. But these devout people, when they heard what they needed to do, they did that. They complied with that. And they went home Christians. You're a devout person. Undoubtedly, you're a devout person. Or you wouldn't be here. There are probably hundreds of other things you could be doing rather than being here. There are people all outside this building taking care of many different things, fulfilling the things of their lives. But you're here because you're a devout person. Well, what I want to tell you is just like these people in Acts 2, you can go home a Christian. You don't have to do a thing more, a thing less, or a thing different than these people. Believing Jesus is the Christ, confessing that belief, repenting and being baptized, that's what people did to become New Testament Christians. And they went home Christians. You can do just exactly that. The man from Ethiopia, well, he went home a Christian. He was a devout man. He traveled hundreds of miles to get down to Jerusalem to worship. And you and I, we don't have to do a thing different, a thing less or a thing more than he did. When he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he went down into the water and he was baptized. For the remission of his sins, the Lord added him to the church. And he went home a Christian. Lydia and her house all went back home Christians. Now in just a few minutes, we're going to leave this place. It doesn't matter how you came to this place. It doesn't matter what your background has been, what your religion has been. It doesn't matter about any of those things. It doesn't matter how you came here. What matters is how are you going to leave here? Are you going to go back home a Christian? All of these people we talked about this morning went back home a Christian. Are you going to go home a Christian? If there's some way you need some help with that in your life, then we are here to do whatever we can. We are all people of similar backgrounds in which we came out of different things. Learning the gospel, we became Christians, and we plead with you through the authority of the New Testament. If that's where you're at and you're ready to make that decision, Then we'll help you with that. We'll listen to your confession of faith. We will baptize you for the remission of sins, and you'll be added to the Lord's church. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe, just maybe, you just want to talk about that some more. You just want to learn something more about that. If we can help you in that way, then of course, we're here to help you with that as well. So if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, please do so. And go home this afternoon a Christian. While John leads us in this song just now, please let's stand together as we sing this song.